My Bible's just as true today as it always has been. Amen. What a wonderful thing that is. Romans chapter 2. Ain't it good to trust in a God that's going to be the same next week as he was this week? He's not going to change his mind about what's right or true or good or bad. He's just going to keep being the same old God that he always has been. If only we could be Christians just like that. Amen. Of course, as on the human side of the equation, we'd have to get better and better and better and better and never get to the place where we thought we had arrived,
right.
Or else we'd get kind of messed up. But I'm thankful that if you stay in the book and stay on your knees praying to God, then you can continually get closer and closer and closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad about that. And every one of us has to do that. Every single one of us has to do that. If you're born again, you've got to dedicate the rest of your life to getting closer and closer to God.
Right.
The only way that you can do that is to have a personal relationship with him on the inside. Your finance is just not going to get God's attention.
Right.
Men look at one another and see how much wealth they got, and they say, my, that man's wealthy. I was at the doctor's office getting my physical done this past week, and I was looking at a book in the doctor's office there. I told that lady that run the office up there, I said, you need to get some men's magazines.
Yeah.
I mean, everything in there was women and soap opera books and stuff. Hey, get a National Geographic or something in here, as long as it's a clean one, and put that in there. Put a Guns and Ammo magazine in here. Amen. And all this stuff about, I picked up one magazine and looked at it for about 30 seconds, and all the men in there looked like girls.
Right.
Every single one of them looked like girls. I said, well, this might be one of these homosexual queer magazines. I put that down. Didn't want to look at that.
Yeah.
I finally found one that had boats. I like boats, but they weren't fishing boats. They was in what Jerry Clower called them, yachts. Well, if they didn't want them called that, they shouldn't have spelled it that way. Amen. Yacht should be spelled Y-A-T, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Amen. But they spelled it some kind of weird way. Well, I got to looking in there. Some of those things cost $17 million. Can you imagine paying $17 million for a boat? That is just ridiculous. A man look at another man pulling up the St. Mary's River in a $17 million yacht. You have to evict all the catfish, them old redneck fish. You have to get them all out for a $17 million yacht pulled up the St. Mary's River. But I'm looking at that thing, I said, man, these people must be loaded. Wow. What must it be like to be able to afford your own yacht?
Yeah.
Men look at one another like that. God look at a yacht and go, I made everything you made. It's hard to impress a man that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills.
Right.
Amen. So that leads me to my text verse here in verse number 11, Romans chapter 2 and verse number 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. You know, the Bible says, God so loved the world. That's all of us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Lord gave his son to die on the cross for our sins.
Yes, sir.
That's a summary of what the gospel is. The gospel is not the whole book combined. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. If you want to see that defined, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is no respecter of persons. He look at a rich man, he look at a poor man, say, you both need to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm glad he done it that way, because I was dirt poor.
Yeah.
It looks like I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to die dirt poor. That's what it looks like. Looks like I'm going to finish. You know, the one man said, I was born with nothing and I still got most of it. I've lost some of my nothing along the way. Amen. But I tell you what, God doesn't look at a man and say he's rich or poor or this or that. Now, you can live in a wise way and you can gain some investments and you can do very well for yourself. And God's not against that. God's not mad at you if you've got some money.
Right.
Amen. Now, there's some liberals that'll tell you you're bad because you've got more than somebody else. Well, it might be that you worked harder than somebody else.
Right. Right.
So I wouldn't worry too much about that. Amen. But God not looking on you in any special favor if you got money, if you don't got money. You do things the right way, you can get some money. Matter of fact, you can cheat and get some money. But see, you have to deal with God and your own conscience about that. That's your business. But when God looks down to decide who he's going to deal with, he don't say, well, I'm going to deal with him because he's poor or I'm going to deal with him because he's rich. But I will say this, God got a special place in his heart for poor people. God said if you'd lend to the poor, he'd repay. Some people lending to the poor and then going down there and trying to charge him more and more, trying to keep him poor. Sometimes I think the banking system in America is about keeping people poor. I know Obama cares about keeping people poor. I tell people you're taking care of them, give them an insurance policy that costs them $1,500 a month, or listen, $500 a month would be too high for me. Man works all he can. He already pays taxes. Then he got to buy your insurance whether you like it or not. And you expect him to get ahead the American dream? Baloney. Baloney. That's just somebody trying to break Americans. That's all that is. That's all that. But you know what? God looks on people that man's trying to oppress, and God got a special place in his heart for that. Now, that doesn't mean God has respect to him one way or the other, but because the Bible said God's not a respecter of persons. I'm glad it's that way. Whether you're rich or poor or ugly or good looking or fat or thin, that kind of stuff don't matter to God. The thing that matters is you're part of the world. He loved you enough to die for you. Amen. Amen. Now, we believe that, don't we? I mean, we're the Sunday morning crowd. I mean, we're especially the Sunday morning crowd. You know they're the most spiritual crowd that they is.
Right.
Of course, I would have liked to have seen you on Wednesday night, but we'll preach about that maybe a little bit later. But what I'm trying to get across to you is that once you get saved and become the spiritual blessing that you are, you're supposed to be a Christian all the time, and you're supposed to grow continually as a Christian all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to preach about this morning. See, some people, I think, they think that maybe because they're a deacon, they got special privileges other people don't have. Or maybe because they're a pastor, they got special privileges that other people don't have. Maybe they're not a deacon or a pastor, but maybe they're the largest contributor to the offering plate. So that entitles me to have the biggest say when it comes to the business meeting. Well, I got news for you. God, not a respecter of persons. If something needs to be judged, you know what God says to do in the book? He didn't say call the richest man. He said to call them that are least esteemed among you and let them judge. Why is it getting quiet right there? I'll tell you why it's getting quiet, because almost everybody in the church thinks they know best. The Bible says when you think you're something, that's when you got to start getting worried. If you think you're something when you're nothing, you know, as a Christian, one of your best attributes is supposed to be humility. Everybody ought to be walking, I'm nothing. He's everything and I'm a nothing. The Bible says you think you're something, you need to think again. Well, what could this verse possibly lead us to preach on? Listen, I don't believe you can improve on God's word. I believe you open your Bible, you open to a chapter. I believe that God was honest when he said he had preserved his word. Amen. I don't think me or anybody else on this planet smart enough to go back in history and find any documents that's going to prove one way or the other what the original autograph said. They don't exist. They never will exist again. They're not ever going to exist because God didn't say he was going to preserve the originals. He said he was going to preserve his word. Amen. Going to preserve his word.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Well, I think we need a word for word. Hey, when Jesus, what you find in the New Testament, Jesus quoting the Old Testament wasn't word for word. Still the word of God, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
God knows how to say what he needs to get said. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's the first step in being the correct kind of believer. You believe God's word. I'm not skeptical about anything in God's word. You know, the scientists used to say there's no possible way that a man could fit inside the belly of the whale. Then they started finding some in there. You say, what are you talking about? Most people don't. They read a story like Jonah and the whale. They say, that's just a myth. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about Bible college teachers saying that the Bible is a myth. I believe the Bible's true. Well, that makes you one of them southern bigots then. Okay, they've labeled Bible believers through history a lot worse than that. I can take that. I'm not a bigot. I'm not a racist. Amen. I don't have anything against minorities of any kind. of any kind. I don't have anything against who I am either. Amen. But I'll tell you this, whether I'm a Southerner or a Yankee or a European or an American, that doesn't make a hill of beans to God. God said he's no respecter of persons. Amen. Amen. Let me say this along those lines. Whatever you profess to be, you ought to be that on the inside, not the outside. That's where I get this. That's where I get my message. When I say God can do it the best way, God has already laid you out a book, chapter and verse, that preaches its own message. All we got to do is relay that to you. I preached you a sermon about the minister. All I have to do is receive from this book and pour it out. And amen, what you do with it be between you and God. Amen. So I believe God's already laid out these sermons that we ought to be preaching very well. And in this verse, he says there is no respecter of persons with God. And then you skip down to verse 17. And from verse 17 to 29 preaches one of the best messages you ever heard. Now, let me clear this up at the beginning. I touched on this a little bit Wednesday night. We're talking about Israel. I heard a man say a couple of weeks ago that Israel was not God's chosen people, and he was making fun of these people that quote the verse that says, "I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee." And they say that that blessing did not go from Abraham to Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes, but only to Abraham. So Wednesday night, we took a little time and we went through and we showed from the Bible, not my opinion, not Zionist opinion. We showed that God's chosen people, the blessing that he'll curse them that curses Israel and bless them that bless Israel goes all the way to the tribes. We pointed that out very clearly, didn't we? We surely did. Now, I touched on this a little bit that some people say that because the Bible, right here in Romans chapter 2, says that we're spiritual Israel, that we replace the Israelite. But I got one thing to point out to you. It don't say that. Now, I breezed over that in Wednesday night service because I wasn't trying to deal with that issue in particular. But I'm going to deal with that a little bit. But I'm going to deal with that this morning in order to get across a message to you about being the Christian that you ought to be. So let's look at it here and see what God has to say. Behold, that means pay attention. Listen up. Behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God and knowest his will. Boy, that's one of the most dangerous things that can be said about you right there in verse 18, that you know his will. How many of you know God's will? By a show of your hands. Only one or two folks brave enough to... Amen. This young lady back here going, me. Amen. I wish everybody in the room would have done like that. I know his will. You should know his will. You've been coming to this church as long as I've been the pastor here, 8 years, and don't know God's will yet. I need to resign. Amen? Ain't that my job, to relate to you God's will?
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more time. How many of you knows what God's will is? Yeah. You know, people get to searching around like they're mentally deficient. I wonder what God's will is. The Bible plainly says what God's will is. What they mean by that is, where does God want me to leave here and go to? That's usually what people mean when they say, what is God's will? Where do I need to go to? That's usually what they mean. But God's will is clear and plain in the Bible for anybody that looks. His will for you to be thankful. See, I mean, I could go through things like that, and we could define what God's will is for your life. But that's the most dangerous thing. Jesus was talking to some folks one day, and he said, I'm preaching. Now, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but I'm trying to make you understand a point here. Jesus said, I'm teaching, and you're saying that I see. You're saying, I see. He says, because you say that you see, because you say that you know what I'm talking about, you're going to be held accountable for that. So when I say you know God's will and you lift up your hand, that's good, I'm glad you do, but what are you doing? How many of you know it's not God's will for you to watch dirty movies? How many of you do it? You don't have to raise your hand for that part. How many of us know what kind of music's good and bad to listen to? What do we listen to? The worst thing is we're dishonest about it. I raised some eyebrows on Wednesday night. We went and ate a hamburger. They played a rock and roll song over the intercom there. I said, hey, I like that song. You say, why? Because I'm not a liar. Amen?
Right.
Now, I don't sit around listening to that stuff, but hey, why lie about it? Song comes on the radio and you like it. Listen, if your foot's tapping under the table, you like it. You come to church on Sunday and fold your hands and that little Catholic halo appears around your head, you know, like they do in the paintings. Every time you see a Catholic painting, it's got a little halo around their head. Wonder why that don't show up in real life. Because that thing's just an image of what's on the outside. People show up to church with a little halo around their head, and they got horns during the week. Pointed tail. I know some of you ladies carrying a pitchfork around with you. Amen. 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 Amen.
Right.
Because you're something different on the inside than you are on the outside. You know God's will. You profess to believe it. You profess to be a follower of the Lord, but you're not a follower of the Lord. I can preach that without fear to every person that I meet because we're all that way to a certain extent. And that's one of the bad things about modern day religion is we've come to accept that. We'll say, well, I know we're all bad to some degree. We just accept that. Well, you're not supposed to accept that. If you know something bad, you might want to do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, there's nothing we can do about it. That's not what my Bible says. That's not what my Bible says. Well, you know, we're saved by grace. Boy, I'm glad we are. I'm glad we are, but that don't give me no excuse to keep breaking God's law. Paul said we established the law.
Right.
What's morally right? Listen, God took away through his own sacrifice the sacrifices. We don't have to come in here and kill no lambs or nothing else. God took away some of those the sacrificial things in his own sacrifice. But God didn't take away the law. He established the law. If the law was what it took to get you to Christ, then it must be right and good and holy. Amen. So we say, we know God's will, but do we apply God's will? Do we apply it to our lives? You can only apply it to your life if it's real on the inside. A lot of us believe it on the outside, but do we believe it on the inside? I've had preachers that I know preach against foul language and stuff like that. And you, listen, I'm not talking about controlling your language. I think, don't we believe in freedom of speech? You know, I can't stand to listen to that preacher preach because he's crude. Well, isn't that speech? Isn't that protect? I mean, whether everybody's not walking around in the lily pad on tiptoes and wearing lace every day. Some people actually grew up like people doing hardship, and maybe some folks are a little rougher around the edges than some. But I'm talking about bad language. I've heard preachers preach against bad language. I'm talking about cursing. I'm talking about filthy language, saying dirty things. Well, you know, I've heard preachers. I've stood right out in the front yard there one time talking to a preacher, and that preacher preached all kinds of righteousness and good things and stuff like that. And right out of his mouth, he was describing women in the most vulgar way that I've ever heard in my life. I just turned around and walked off. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that at all. You say, what's the difference? Well, he gets up and preaches about good things and right things, but said a cuss word. I mean, just right out, cursed. And you say, what? There's something different from the inside to the outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Filthy, vulgar talk. That's not supposed to be part of who you are as a Christian.
Right. Amen.
Amen. He said, verse 18, and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. He said, and art confident that thou art a guide. How many of you is confident that you can be a guide to the blind? Somebody out there can't see the truth. Could you guide them? Could you tell them what's right? You got that kind of confidence? The Bible says if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. Well, some of us couldn't raise our hand and say that. Why is it that you couldn't raise your hand and say that, but you can't be led by another Christian? Well, he says you're confident. You know when you're going to start telling people about the Lord? When you, number one, believe it on the inside, and number two, you get the confidence to say something about it. That's when you'll start doing it.
That's it.
You know what a lot of people do? They believe it on the outside. They've never changed on the inside, but they've still got the confidence to tell everybody else what to do. You know who he's describing, don't you? The Pharisee of Jesus' day. He said they'll lay burdens on your shoulders to carry, but they won't lift it with one of their little fingers. They'll tell you not to watch bad stuff, but watching bad stuff don't bother them one bit. The rules are for you little people. That's the way the government looks at it. That's the way preachers look at it. That's the way religions look at it. That's the way the industrial system looks at it. You miss a day of work, you're fired. I'll take 3 weeks vacation this year. You buy Obamacare, I'll get the government plan.
Right.
You quit watching dirty movies, I'll watch what I want to.
Right.
That's wrong, folks. That's wrong. It's wrong for the preacher to do it to you. It's wrong for the politician to do it to you. It's wrong for the corporate world to do it to you. And it's wrong for you to do it to your neighbor.
Right.
Amen. You're supposed to be the same on the inside as you are on the outside.
Yeah.
Amen. You got a problem on the inside, you say, boy, I got a problem. Pray for me.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, did you really like that song that they was playing? I surely did. Pray for me. One of these days, my toe will stop tapping under the table to this, to the word. But listen, that's just the way it is. I got flesh just like you do. The thing is, I'll come to church and tell you about it. You'll hide it. You'll turn your radio down before you come in the parking lot. You know what your biggest problem is? You're afraid to be you. If you just admit who you are, you might could get right. Or you might have confidence in who you are. You know that this big thing now is they've started up this kick against Southerners again on television. You know what? I'm a Southerner. I don't care if you like it or not.
Yeah.
Amen? You know who the most powerful people in the world are? The people who don't care what you think about them.
Right.
You know who lives in ghettos? Anybody trying to get everybody else to accept them. You've been watching Days of Our Lives so long you didn't even realize that. That's why I don't want no government protection. The Lord can take care of the church just fine. Amen. And we don't need the KKK to protect white people. Amen. We just don't need that. And I'm not ashamed to be a white person. I don't hate black people, don't hate Mexicans, but I'm not. Listen, the worst thing you could be in the world today is not a murderer, a thief, an Islamic terrorist. Those things are all acceptable. But a white, straight, southern male is the worst thing you could be in this day and time. And I just don't care. You say, why do you go around acting like a redneck outside? Because I'm a redneck inside. Well, preacher, you remind me of trailer trash. Well, I grew up in a trailer. If you could call that thing we lived in a trailer. I think back on it, seemed like a doghouse to me. But my daddy went to work every day and fed us. Amen. 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 I'm not ashamed of that. Amen. I wish this church had millions of dollars. I wish it did. Because what I'd do is every time they took one of these Confederate statues down, I'd take a little vote here and we'd go out and buy them. We'd put them out there and look like a Confederate graveyard out there.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Mike, the people in the community might perceive you as hateful. They already do that. I got a King James Bible. Automatically, I'm a bigot. Well, I hate to say this because it sounds kind of wrong. And my wife's sitting back there. She'll tell, I'm not a womanizer. But I mean, I was born, I like girls.
Yeah, amen. Right.
I was born that way.
Right.
So I'm automatically, that makes me a hateful bigot.
Yeah.
I get suspicious around guys that like other guys.
Yeah.
I get suspicious around a guy. You get around a guy and they've got their hair fixed just so you know they spent 45 minutes doing that.
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't feel comfortable around that. So I'm already a hateful bigot. What's a statue of Robert E. Lee going to change? And see, you overplay your hand like that because Robert E. Lee didn't own slaves. He was against slavery. So how you telling me it's a racial thing? It can't be a racial thing. Stonewall Jackson not only tithed to his church, he took a specific portion of his income that he got on a weekly or monthly basis, and he used that money to support a black Sunday school class against the laws of the state of Virginia.
Yeah.
So you're telling me they was fighting to keep slavery? You're a nut.
Amen.
You're a nut.
Yeah.
You say, well, why are you the way you are? Because that's what I am on the inside. And that's what I intend to be for the rest of my life. That's what I intend to be for the... Let me ask you a question. Since it's, I guess, politically correct to just hold grudges against racial white bigots, Bible believers, basically is what it comes down to. Why, how come it is that the Japanese can bomb Pearl Harbor, sink our battleships to the ground, kill our Navy boys, and then in the war in the Pacific, take little babies in China and spear them on bayonets and hold them up in front of their mothers before they kill the mothers, and march, Brother Mark told you about the Bataan Death March, and treat people like that? How is it that we can normalize relations with them and trade with them? How is it that the Chinese could take American prisoners in the Korean War and treat them worse than dirt, but we'll normalize relations with them? How is it that the Germans, the whole nation was involved in that. The Germans could burn millions of people, Jews and otherwise, and burn them and burn them and burn them and invade other nations not once but two and three times and just cause literal havoc in Europe. How come we can normalize relations with them, but 100 years later it's still wrong to be a Southerner? It's political. It's not racial. It's not racial. And you know what happens? They put a little bit of pressure on you and you... Sit down and shut up. Don't say nothing. And the news announces it as a KKK rally. And puts this Duke fella in there. I believe that Duke fella that runs the KKK, I believe he's a government operative. Every time something significant comes up, that fella turn up and talk hate speech. And yet, this weekend, he just happened to show up and start supporting Donald Trump. Every news, and you know what they done? They started out the morning talking about white supremacy, and by the evening time, you know what they had switched it to? White nationalism. You love your nation, you're a bigot. Well, I love my nation. I love the South, I love America. You say, why? Because that's what I am on the inside. Well, you want me to come pretend like I'm a communist? Is that making sense to you? Because I'm not doing that to give you no political speech. What I'm doing that to is because Christians come to church and they ought to be Christians on the inside, not just come to join this church and be a part of this community and then be whatever you want to be during the week. You're supposed to be a Christian on the inside. You say you know God's will, but you don't do God's will, you do your will. Ain't that the way it goes most of the time? Yes, it is. You're confident that you're a guide. He said, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of truth and law. He said, you say you know all these things. Verse 22, he says, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Now that's where the rubber hits the road. Does your words agree with what's going on in the inside? Does it agree? You say not to commit adultery, but are you doing it? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege worshiping idols? A lot of folks worship idols. You know there's a difference between watching TV and worshiping idols, don't you? There's some folks that sit down in front of it, turn it on, watch it 30 minutes and turn it off, or whatever the case may be. There's some people waited bated breath for the next time Angelina Jolie makes a movie. She might take her clothes off in this one. Boy, we just adore her. Somebody like that's adored, but a preacher.
Yeah.
Oh, Robert E. Lee, he's a terrible man, but Brad Pitt, I mean... Some of you ladies, you get me. I tell you what, I got a beef with you. I got a beef with you. How many of you ladies would just be thrilled to death if your husband stepped out with another woman? You'd like that, wouldn't you? You'd be glad about that, wouldn't you? Jump up and down. Oh, that's wonderful. Is that true or false? You'd be upset, wouldn't you? You'd be mad, wouldn't you? You wouldn't speak to him for a good while, would you? You'd probably try to get 3/4 instead of half, wouldn't you? In the divorce? Well, listen, what's this deal with Elvis then? And Brad Pitt then? I mean, they leave their wives and you sit around hollering and screaming and clapping about them? That's a reprobate. You got mad at the preacher, though, when he said you ought to give a tithe and an offering. Who does he think he is? Who does Elvis think he is, leaving his wife and sleeping around with half of the women in the country? Why is he a good guy?
Right, right.
Because you say you're a Christian, but you're not a Christian. Take pleasure in folks that live that way. He said, well, I go to church every Sunday morning. You're supposed to be in church every Sunday morning. You want a medal for that? Well, you know, I've been to church every service for 3 months now, and I think I deserve a break. You don't deserve nothing. You deserve to be in hell with your back broken, your eyes scratched out. You don't deserve no cookie.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I work hard all week. I just don't think I can get up for Sunday school. Why? You believe in God, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm a good Christian. I don't think you're a good Christian.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, the Bible don't say we got to go to Sunday school. It don't say not to. We can argue stupid arguments like that all you want to. The fact of the matter is you're full of yourself. You love yourself. You're not a Christian. You're a whatever you are.
That's right.
Amen. So you think God respects you for who you are and what you've done so far, but he don't. God says, I have a will here. You can do it. He's saying to these Pharisees, he said, you're a Jew and you boast yourself in the law and you say you know the will of God. You're confident that you could lead the blind and tell the people that don't know what they're doing what they ought to be doing. He said, but you're saying not to commit adultery, but you're committing adultery. That's the reason he asked the question. Dost thou? Yes, you do. You know that fellow, we talk about this often, but that lady that was brought in adultery, you know why they didn't bring the man too, don't you? You know, the Bible says if a man and a woman's caught in adultery, they bring the man and the woman, and they both get judged. But in that particular case, they only brought the woman. Why is that? Because one of them Pharisees was the dirty man. Everybody's going to speculate on it, but I believe when Jesus bent down and wrote in the ground, he wrote the man's name down that was there. He was probably standing right there looking at his own name being written down. Just like when I'm preaching this morning, you're sitting there going, he's talking right directly to me, ain't you? Well, you're the only ones here.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, you Southern Baptists across the street, you need to get right with God. See, that's useless. They can't hear me over here.
Right.
I got to preach to you. You're the one that needs the preaching. Some of you sit in this church and you think, well, our preacher preaches a little hard, so we're the best Christians in town. No, you're not. God gave you the hardest preacher in town because you're the worst people.
Yeah,
that's what you are. Amen. Of course, we won't take that one step further and find out why God gave me the worst church in town. Amen. Works both ways, don't it? Works both ways. I think about that quite often. Church falling down, the water stinks, the air conditioners don't work. And you know, every once in a while, I try to read my Bible a couple times through a year, so at least twice a year I hit that verse that says, what is right, I will give thee. That's humbling. You guys say, yes, Lord, thank you. So I might as well be faithful to God's word while I'm here. Amen? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind. But he says, the reason he says in verse 22, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou? But he was saying that to Pharisees that would run commit adultery and then stone people to death for them doing the same thing. Listen, over there in the Middle East right now, they got Muslims that are taking women out and stoning them for adultery. Right now today, bury them up to their shoulders and throw rocks at their head until they're dead. And those same men throwing the rocks are molesting little boys, molesting little boys. And I'm not talking about the Islamic jihadist. I'm talking about the police officers that this country is training to take control of those countries. The police officers are molesting the little boys. Listen, I talked to a Marine gunnery sergeant that was in Afghanistan, and they had to get him out of the country because he was threatening to kill those Muslim police officers if they touched them boys again. The government said, no, we can't involve ourselves in their culture. Well, you're taking down statues in the South, ain't you?
Right.
Huh? Why can't you stand up and tell a Muslim he can't molest little boys anymore? Because what you are on the outside, freedom, 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 is not what you are on the inside. Oppressive, oppressive, oppressive. Amen. Amen. God's not going to let that go very long either. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, I told Brother Curtis back here, I said, if this country keeps going the way it's going, there'll be a shooting war inside this country within 15 years. He said, I think it'd be sooner than that. Amen. You say, what is it? People not the same on the inside as they are on the outside. People have been trained. People have been trained not to say what they believe. Amen. What do you think about this? Well, it's all right. Inside you're saying, man, I hate that. That's stupid. Is that right or wrong? That's right. I said, well, preacher, I just think I'd be better off if I went over here, and I think God's calling me to New Mexico. I think I can be a help out there. No, what it is you have the heat's too hot right here. That's what it is. Right. Just say it, man. Just say it. Just say it. Just say what's on your mind. You know what I can take? I can take disagreement. I can take that, boy. I got strong shoulders. I can take you disagreeing with me. What I can't take, somebody just lie to your face. Just say what you believe. This is America. I believe that as much as anybody else does. Preach something from the pulpit, you don't agree with it? Hey, tell me. Let's talk about it. Amen. But you won't even be honest to your wife, let alone the preacher or God. Amen. That's true. That's true. Some of you men make decisions and your wife just pecks at it and pecks at it. Won't you be honest with her? Won't you just tell her, I don't appreciate you bad mouth in every idea I come up with. You say, well, that'll cause some problems. Well, living a good life is worth causing some problems.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we just won't be compatible. You shouldn't have gotten married then. You should have prayed about that a little longer.
Yeah.
But if you're a man that believes you ought to run your house, that too makes you a bigot.
Yeah.
That too makes you a male chauvinist. I believe that a woman, biblically, Proverbs chapter 31, can do anything that a man can do. The Bible says if she's virtuous, she can buy and sell land. She can work in the market. She can do all of those things. I tell you one thing she can't do. She can't run her husband.
Amen.
You say, well, it's a proven fact that women are smarter than men. Okay, how about that tree?
Yeah, amen.
Hmm? God didn't tell you to follow your husband and that your desire be to your husband because you're smarter or less smart than him. It's because we live in a sinful world and God set it up that way so that there'd be order and structure. The problem is most people don't like order and structure. They say they believe the Bible on the outside, but they go home and try to run their husband. And then they say, I just don't know what's wrong in our home. You're what's wrong in your home, lady. Shut your mouth. I said that with a smile. And some of you men won't even move the coasters on the coffee table without your wife's permission. Would it be okay if you ask your wife if y'all could come to Sunday school next week? Well, you said you believe the Bible, right? Do you believe the Bible or do you believe the health education and welfare system? Or do you believe the, what do you call the women's rights organization? What is it? Yeah, you believe the feminist movement. Who do you believe? I can't believe this country. Since it got so quiet right there, I'm going to remain in this. I can't believe that. Of course, they're always going to make it look like the women were out there in the field chained up with the slaves. But I can't believe we actually live in a society that would find it oppressive that a woman could stay home if she wanted to. That's not oppressive. You think women's opinions don't matter? I didn't say that. Women's opinions matter a great deal. But God said your husband was running the house. You can say that and make it even feel even more abrasive. He's your boss. Amen. The only way a woman can run a home and not wreck it is if the man is such a mouse that he'll let her do it. Then they can live in peace forevermore.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that, because I really hadn't got to where I wanted to get yet. He says, "Dost thou commit adultery? Dost thou that abhorrest idols? Dost thou commit sacrilege?" Best thing you can do is stay away from American idols. And I don't mean the television program either. I mean America's idols.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Michael Jackson.
Yeah, amen.
Right. Why? Well, what's the attract? Why would a why other than the sin nature? Why would a red-blooded American Southern boy look at anything having to do with a child molesting homosexual man that looks like a woman who professes that his idol was, what's this woman that married all these men? What's her name? The old actress that married all Elizabeth Taylor. Michael Jackson said his idol was Elizabeth Taylor. Mine was John Wayne and Clint Eastwood. Cause something wrong on the inside. Something's wrong on the inside. You're not the same on the inside as you are on the outside. On the inside, I'm a temptable sinner. On the outside, that's the same thing I am. I'm a temptable sinner. Just be honest about the thing. Just be honest about the thing. Amen? Well, let me get to a place where I can sum this up. Verse 26. Look what it says. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? You know, God told those Jews, he said, you're to sacrifice this way. You're to be circumcised the eighth day if you're a male. You're to do all these things. But he said, it's better than this. It's better this way. This is better. That instead of coming to worship God because I told you to come to the temple on a certain day, that you come because you want to. He said, if a man doesn't get circumcised, but if he lives better than the circumcised Jew is, he said, that man's better. That man's better. He's better. It's better to do it that way. Listen, it's better for you to be a sinner saved by grace, who's temptable, fallible, faulty, profess that, thank God for his grace, and keep on living than to come to church once a week, pretend you're high and holy, because you're not. You're not. That's what's wrong with most churches today. They got a bunch of people in never been converted. He says, verse number 27, he says, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law. Boy, you see that verse right there? That thing right there just snapped all of man's hopes and dreams. He said, if a man by uncircumcision could fulfill the law, how you do that? You know who did that? Jesus is the only one that ever been able to do that. So he's talking about a hypothetical situation trying to express to you a real situation. He said, if a man that was uncircumcised could fulfill the law, wouldn't that be better than a man who's just faking the law? Wouldn't that be better than the man that got circumcised and went to the Sabbath day and fasted and tithed and all that good stuff, but in his heart he was an adulterous maniac, lunatic, like the maniac of Gadara? He said, wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be better if it was that way? And you know what he did in that same regard? He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill that law for you, so because he knew you couldn't do it. Why couldn't you do it? Because you messed up on the inside. Most people are messed up. Most religious people are messed up on the inside, pretending like they're high and holy on the outside. That's why they don't like hard, straight preaching. Because hard, straight preaching reminds them who they are. They don't want to be reminded of who they are. But that's the only way to get victory. Only way to get victory in your life is to admit you're a sinner and get down here and ask God to help you with it. Say, well, I don't feel like coming to the altar. What's wrong with praying in your seat then? Well, I just don't feel like praying in this environment. What's wrong with praying in your closet beside your bed then? The problem is there's something in your heart don't want to pray. The problem is there's something in your heart don't want to hear about what's right and wrong. The problem is there's something going on in your heart makes you uncomfortable around somebody that's talking well of doing right. What's wrong with doing right? How come we can praise Michael Jackson and talk about what a great man he was and all the poor people that he fed while he was molesting kids, and we can't say nothing good about doing right? What's wrong with telling the truth? What's wrong with watching good and wholesome things and thinking about good things instead of pornography and music that teaches hate and all kinds of stuff like that? You know, you want to know who's the hateful bigot? The music industry. That's where the hate comes from. We'll talk about hate. What about the news media? That's the people that hate you. Amen. Not a preacher telling you to do right. If I hate you, I'd be up here with a smile on my face, sucking the money out of your pocketbook. That's what hateful people don't tell you the truth and talk to you straight. From now on, I'm going to dedicate myself to talk to you like your mama talked to you when you told her a lie. Amen? Because that's what we need.
Yes, sir.
And I need to invite a preacher along here about every 2 or 3 months to talk to me that way. Amen.
Amen.
The problem is on the inside. I just don't know why it bothers me so much. Because the Lord dealing with you on the inside, that's what it is. He said, now look, verse number 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. What's the context? Verse 17, behold, thou art a Jew. He's talking to Jews. He ain't talking to Christians. He's giving you an illustration of a Jew that thinks he's godly because he's godly on the outside. He says, verse number 29, but he is a Jew. Who? Christians? No, he's not calling Christians spiritual Jews. The Jew that is a Jew on the inside is a real Jew. The illustration is this. David was a real Jew on the inside. In the book of Esther, when they were in captivity, the Bible says that after God delivered them through Mordecai and Esther, after God delivered them, it said many of them became Jews. They didn't become the offspring of Abraham. Their flesh didn't change into Jews. They become Jews. It was an outward religion. They didn't become Jews on the inside. The Bible, look. The difference is a Pharisee that's just all Jewish on the outside, Pharisee on the outside, religious on the outside, but inside is full of dead men's bones. The opposite of that is David, who when he messed up, when he cheated on his own wife, when he took another man's wife and murdered him, he got down on his face before a God he knew he was guilty in front of and cried out, God, be merciful to me. Help me, O God. That's what he did. That's the difference. That's the difference between a real Jew and a spiritual Jew. A real Jew is one that's on the inside, like Moses when he did wrong, and David when he did wrong, and all the other people in the Old Testament when they did wrong, they got on their face, rather than contrast to the rest of the folks in the Old Testament that when they done wrong, they justified themselves and come up with a good reason why they should continue doing what they're doing, and just found everything in the world. This preacher taught it, or that prophet said to do it. The false prophets would tell him anything. That's what Christians will do today. Well, you know, my preacher said it's okay to drink. Your preacher's not the Bible. Your preacher's not God. He'll tell you anything to get the money out of your pocket. A real man of sin against God, I mean, a real Christian will get down on his face and say, God, forgive me for what I've been doing. Yes, sir, but you got to be led to be that way. You got to understand that there is a difference. One of the greatest things in my life, I was raised in one of the strictest churches that there ever has been, and it's okay with me. The greatest day in my life was when I realized, though, that following all the outward rules is not what's getting the job done. Getting those outward rules to become delightsome on the inside. That's a trick right there. I mean, when I figured that out, though, I was like, glory to God, this thing. I actually enjoy coming to church. Preacher used to say, now, you better be in church every time the door's open. Boy, preach that way to you until you just feel like, I'm just a mole if I don't show up tonight. Boy, the preacher's going to get on to me if I don't show up. But you know, there was a day when I realized that loving to go to church every service was supposed to be on the inside. And when it got on the inside, I was like, boy, I'm a little bit tired today, but guess what? Get to go to church.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we go to church, we may as well stay long enough to get something out of it.
Right.
Well, it's awful hot in here, but it ain't no hotter down there. I keep coming down there not because I want to spit on you, because it's cooler down here. It's hotter up there. Well, I just really want to go home right now, Brother Mike. It's 12:20 and all the other churches in the world are out. They got out 35 minutes ago. What's wrong with being in here? Didn't you get enough of your weekly activities during the week? I know what it is. You got to go home and paint the barn, right? You got to go home and get on your couch. Is there a football game on today? That's what we had a real good spirit till 12 o'clock. I've been preaching 20 minutes on credit here. And the only reason I'm doing this, some of you wanting to leave. I mean, you see, because you're a Christian, you believe God's word, you're red-blooded American, we're patriots, and all this stuff you're talking about on the outside, but on the inside, nothing bothers you when the country goes bad. Nothing upsets you when people in the church want to put on, you know, a big show instead of just nothing bothers you because outside stuff only. Outside stuff only. Amen. Christians are not spiritual Jews. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision of that heart. We're the children of Abraham by faith. Amen? In the spirit. Now you ought to be a Christian from the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. Then the Bible says this, whose praise is not of men but of God. God get the praise in your life, the glory in your life. One of the worst things happen when preach. Go out on visitation and knock on 30 doors and come back. Yes, I'm... I'd like to stand up and tell you all you folks how I went on visitation this week, and I knocked on 30 doors, and I really told that one. I met this one guy, and I really told him how it is. Who you worshiping? Who you serving? You serving yourself? Well, this one church invited me, boy, and I went and I really told them this, and I told them that. What are you telling me for? Well, you know, I gave $50,000 to the First Baptist Church last year. Who cares? You give that to God? You know what usually happens with that kind of thing, don't you? People put money in the plate and then they decide they got to run the church. Say, well, I put so much money in. Well, whoa, that ain't your money no more. We put more than a tithe in the offering plate. And actually, we got it just taken right, since the church pays us, we just have it taken right out of our check. But you know, once I get any place, let me put it this way. Any place I've ever been a member of the church, when I put the money in the plate, it's no longer mine. I don't even think about it anymore. Amen. I don't think about it anymore. You say, what if they spend it wrong? I don't care. That's between them and God. Between them and God. It's just like I see a bum on the street. I gave a bum on the street a $100 bill one time. He's like, $100. This other guy said, why would you give a bum that? He's just going to go spend on beer. I don't care what he spends it on. I didn't give it so I could control his life. I said, I didn't get it so I could control his life. I don't give money so I can control the preacher. I don't give money so I can control the church. That money's God's. See, you know what that defines, though, don't you? The difference between somebody that is a cheerful giver and somebody's doing it just to...
That's right.
I think what it equals out to is people worshiping themselves. Look what I did. Now I feel good about me. Boy, I made the church this morning. Now I feel wonderful about me. You ain't got no reason to. The Bible says when you're done all you're commanded to do, you're supposed to say, we're unprofitable servants. You've only done that which was your duty to do. You're supposed to be here this morning. You should have been here Wednesday night, but you laid out because you're a sorry devil. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If the shoe fits, wear it. Amen. So I don't like it. Go somewhere where they'll lie to you.
That's
or be a real Christian. Be real. You know what's wrong with a lot of young men this day and time? I believe they're saved, but they just haven't yet decided which ballpark they want to play in. A lot of folks, 72, 40 years old, many of them haven't figured that out yet either. Boy, the Lord just gave me another line of thought, and I'm contemplating following it. Hey, listen here. You fellas married? Any of you fellas married? Well, why do you still feel the need to look good in front of somebody else's woman or wife? Ain't you married enough? What do you want? You want two women? Suppose you did attract her attention. What you going to do then? Well, what's the problem? See, you're married on the outside. You ain't married on the inside. That's what I've been trying to preach to you here for these last 3 hours. A lot of Christians on the outside. They're not Christian on the inside, though. That same line of thought. Why you got to look like a rap star when you walk around town? Why you got to look like and I don't mean rebel like Southern rebel. I mean, why you got to look like a rebel, a rebellious person? Why you got to walk around town with your sleeves out and your bad attitude on? Ain't you a Christian? You're trying to beat everybody up? Feel the need to be tough? Why? Ain't you saved enough? Don't it make you feel like a man because you provide for your wife and kids? Ain't that enough? You got to go out and threaten everybody in town you're going to beat them up too? What's the problem? Say, something ain't jiving between the inside and outside. If you're saved on the inside, you love people. Say, boy, I really want to help somebody this week. I want to be a blessing. You know, I believe in the right to bear arms, don't you? I carry a pistol with me everywhere I go. I was wearing it on the outside because that's my right to do that. You know what I did, though? I bought me something where I could tuck it on the inside of my pants. That way I don't intimidate nobody on the street, because I ain't trying to be an intimidation to people. I'm trying to be a help and a blessing to people. Only reason I carry a pistol is so somebody might jump on me and kill me or whoop up on me or something. I want to protect myself. That's my right to do, because I'm an American. This too makes me a bigot. Carry a gun. Amen? Well, the Lord said I couldn't be a striker, but he didn't say nothing about me shooting you. Amen. But you see, people want to put on this display of being John Wayne or something like that because they're not satisfied with the life God gave. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? Same thing with you ladies. Got to get on get looking like a movie star and wear your yogurt pants out in town. Why? 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 Why you got to put that on Facebook, half undressed? Well, this girl that we know, my wife and I both know, she started putting pictures of herself on Facebook. She started losing a little bit of weight. She thought she looked good. I got news for her, but she thought she looked good. And so the thinner she got, the less clothes she started putting on. And before I deleted her, I said it right plain where she could get it. That ain't right. A woman ought not look like that for anybody else except her husband. That's the end of that discussion. That's the way it ought to be. And they got me, well, people are just so mean and so judgmental. Ain't a slut, though. I'm not immodest. That's right or it's wrong. Well, preacher, I don't think this is the place for that kind of talk. Well, where is the place then? Where is the place? Let's find that place and go there right now and start this discussion over. Because if this ain't the place, there ain't no place for that. You think the Congress is going to teach you how to live right? No, sir. You think the Elks Lodge is going to teach you about modesty? They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. So you just have to get it here. Amen. There's a difference between what's going on the inside and what's going on the outside. If there is, we got some problems we need to take care of. Amen? On the other hand, God saved your soul. And boy, you recognize the frailty of the flesh and the weakness of it. And boy, you get down on your knees every once in a while and say, God, I don't even know how you could save me. I'm so rotten. Yeah, yeah. Then that's good. That's a man that's been converted on the inside, not just on the outside. He gets his Bible out sometimes and read it and says, man, this is the most boring book I have ever read in my life. Because that's about what the flesh thinks about your Bible. But there's a man inside going, let's read the next chapter today. The Bible says about itself, much study is a weariness to the flesh. Flesh will look at that thing, it'd much rather be watching Hollywood Squares. Which ain't even many of them left, is it? But I tell you what, that spirit on the inside, because you got converted on the inside, I'd be like, preach 10 more minutes, Brother Mike, would you please? I mean, couldn't we at least go to 1 o'clock? All right, let's open our Bibles back tonight. I'm done. Listen, Brother Nathan, you come play something. Listen, Lord spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe you've been professing to be something on the outside that you're not really on the inside. God sees that, and that's the only one that it should be important to. Listen, if you can fool the deacon or if you can fool the pastor into thinking you're a Christian because you do things outwardly, good for you. Good for you. Makes life less complicated, I guess, but God sees what's in your heart. God sees it. You come to church and wonder, boy, I'd like to say amen once in a while. I'd like to look like I'm having a good time, but you can't have a good time. That's because the life you're living on the inside's eating your lunch. It's wearing you out. It's causing you grief. It's causing you to be depressed. It's causing you not to have any joy. Why don't you get next to God and say, God, forgive me for the way I've been doing. Help me be at least half on the inside of what I am on the outside. God, help me. Help my heart to match my profession. And thank you, God, for helping me. Won't you do that? You can do that in your seat. You can do that around the altar. You can do that around your coffee table at home. Get your family around. Say, God, help us to be real. God, help us to be real. Help us to be real. Help us to get back to what most people call old-time religion. God, help us to be real, true religion and undefiled. Help us to be that. Things will pick up for you, I guarantee.